Well, we know God loves the people in Japan very much. They've been through a terrible time and certainly have had a rough history. David Tendervader and his wife, Bandy, are in Tokyo, that area, and they did email Vicki Boer and describe some of what had happened to the north of them, and really worse than you might even imagine. I can't remember how many miles. I was just reading the email before coming out here. How many miles? They said just devastation, just like a bunch of wood piled up. I can't remember if it was 30 miles, you know, from here to beyond Monroeville, just wood, nothing, and everything wiped out. And just for the Lord's help to be with the people. And I think until we hear further news through the Red Cross thing, where you could send $10 and it'll go to help people in some practical way. Loss of life is obviously the biggest problem, and resources and electricity and all that. But for the Lord's help to be with them through people, pray and give as God leads in that way. So we know the Lord is with the people there. The update on Chris Schneider, also fellow who was shot in Germany a while back, Kevin's brother, and Bruce and Paul are coming home today, I think, from Germany. Chris had a number of different surgeries, and there's more good news than bad, so keep praying for his recovery and for God to give him health coming up that way. We need about 30 people for the little children who come here in a couple of Saturdays. And if you could help out with that, that would be great. Very enjoyable time last year. So good chance to say hello to people. Enjoy the children as they come. And just be a follower of Christ in the midst of everything that happens there. That'll be an exciting time. And also, last week in your bulletins, and there's some more of these on the shelf back there, don't forget the giving to missions on a regular basis opportunity. And when you think of people like the Kindervaders in Japan, Jim Kendall heading back to Indonesia soon, boy, it's a great opportunity to give so that they can get to where they're going and be supported where they're at. So the big goal that I have is for 100% participation by the congregation, that everybody gives on a regular basis to missions. And very simple thing to do. You pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to give so that missionaries could go and tell about Jesus where news about Jesus is not? And he'll lead you. You put it on this little card here. It helps folks at the national office. You tear it off and you say, Lord, you provide so I can provide for the missionaries. And you mark your envelope, you know, that you can use in the pew or use on your own for missions. And it helps people in a very practical way. So more about that in weeks to come as we talk about stewardship. We're going to talk about, you know, all aspects of stewardship, from giving to where you give to the tithe and offering opportunity to the ownership of the Lord for everything. So big theme in the Bible mentioned, if you have an older Bible, it's mentioned about 9 times in the New Testament, a bunch of times in the Old Testament. And ask God to speak to your heart in regards to that. Stewardship, or knowing God owns all things and we simply are stewards of that, is something I struggle with as a Christian. There are certain aspects of stewardship that come real easy for me. And unfortunately, when it comes easy, it's sometimes it's a matter of math instead of my heart. You know, here's the math. 10%. And then what? And just go, you know. I mean, fourth grader can do it, right? And but the heart, how's that heart doing? Is it connected with the worship of God? Is it connected with the gift? All those things the Lord's very intent on in the Bible. So we'll be hearing about that. And living in a country that's very, very blessed, we have a lot of responsibilities in regards to stewardship. We're going to stumble in those areas. And It's an area we probably need to repent in as much as anything else. You might say, well, family life, you know, that needs help. That's true. Prayer, we need more of that. That's true. Stewardship, just as much messed up without God's help as any other area. So if you're into following Jesus and being countercultural, get into stewardship. Follow His ways, and you'll be a blessing. And God will use you very much. So we were talking before the first service, and thankful Bob mentioned, I said, when's the last time you used the word steward? He said, oh, not outside of the Bible. And I said, well, what do you think it is? He said, a servant in a big house. That's a great Bible definition. That's what God calls you and I, a servant in a big house. The big house happens to be God's universe. And you and I are the servants. We don't always want to be the servants. Sometimes we want to be the boss. Sometimes we want to run our part of the universe. But we are servants accountable to the Lord. A servant in the big house. So letting God's truth introduce us to Jesus in regards to stewardship. John Maxwell tells a story. He's a pastor, used to be, about taking his five-year-old son to McDonald's for a Happy Meal. Probably enjoyed some of those in your life. And he gives his son the Happy Meal. They're enjoying each other's company. It's a, you know, good picture of life together. And he reaches over to get a French fry from his son's Happy Meal. And his son pushes away his hand, says, oh, no, Daddy, those are my French fries. And John Maxwell, he's trying to respond in a good fatherly manner to his son's experience at that point. And he wants to tell him, look, you know, I gave you those French fries because I want to bless you. I'm a very, very generous father. Would you not say that about God to you? He's a very, very generous father. And he thought to himself, well, I want to let my son know that I just wanted to introduce him to my world by letting him take these French fries, you know, and eat them. Part of my world, and I want to share it with them, and teach them about stewardship. You have a potato, and you get some oil, and all of a sudden, French fries. It was one of the greatest acts of stewardship in Western civilization for some people. And then he said, "I wanted to let my son know that I'm giving him these to give him the energy to go and serve me in this life. Maybe share his French fries with others." Just to enjoy that time. That's what he wanted to get across to his son. And the Bible tells us, be generous. I mean, as each has received a gift, whatever it is, as each has received a gift, minister to one another or serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, so that in all things God may be glorified. And as God owns everything, He hands it to us. We hand it up to Him as an offering, off to other people. Our needs get taken care of, and God's goodness is known. He's really glorified when we live as stewards, when we are that way, when we see life like that. And I love what Eugene Peterson did with that verse in 1 Peter 4. He put it this way in his paraphrase. Be generous with the different things God gave you. Be generous, because God's generous. Passing them around, so all can get in on it. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus. So when you and I say, hey, we're servants in the big house, God is honored, other people get blessed. And we become like a Christian philanthropist at that point. God's resources showered upon us. You know, they can't even fit in my house, got to have a storage shed. Put some of it in there, you know. Bring it to the church to have a garage giveaway. So overflowing this, that, and the other. To honor God, to bless others, whatever gift you have been given. And in America, the things that easily beset us is a lack of stewardship. When I was reading to my sons, and there's books out from the Berenstain Bears. There's a little bit of a cartoon that the little bears would often get the galloping, greedy gimmies. Okay. That's what Americans get. What the human nature gets. The galloping, greedy gimmies. More for me, and more for me. That's the theme. And that's the opposite of stewardship. Stewardship, I recognize God owns everything. He entrusts us with things to honor Him and to take care of our needs and to bless others. And so the goodness of God in the midst of stewardship, we want to be able to know and to follow. Stewardship involves using whatever the Lord has given us. You take the music offered today. Vicki, Virginia, the choir, and Cody and Mike and Rachel. God gave them a song. You know, songs. Gift of music. They could have said, that's my music. I go home, I put the headphones on, and yeah, all for me. And what happens when that happens? You don't get helped. My faith doesn't grow with them and their headphones on. God's not honored very much, just with one voice. When you use your gift on behalf of others, wow, many, many people are strengthened and blessed. God is honored more so. Take a more pedestrian example. Some of you are familiar with the name Aaron Rodgers, not to be confused with Fred Rodgers. Okay. Aaron Rodgers, football player for the Green Bay Packers, discovered one day, I have a good arm. You know, I could throw things and it goes in the right direction. And he could have said, well, I'm just going to play darts in my basement all my life, hit the target. Hooray for me. That's all I want to use. No, he used the ability to throw a football. The whole team gets blessed. Everybody, almost a third of the nation, watch him play his game. For a while, Green Bay, Wisconsin feels superior to Pittsburgh. You know, they need that. Just give them mercy. There. And so many people are blessed when he uses his gifts on behalf of others. And as a Christian man, he tells his faith. See, when you use your gift to serve others, faith in Christ is highlighted and God is honored. So you could be that way. Stewardship is God owns it all, we take care of it. And it works in terms of how we live. It gives thankfulness in our heart. Thanksgiving puts a fuel in your life and gives you healthy ethics for how you handle life, being thankful. Ingratitude is one of the common sins that people have. In Romans chapter 1, when people decided not to believe in God, one of the first things happened was they failed to give thanks to God. And so just assuming, you know, all this is supposed to go to me, that's not of God. That's not being a steward. It increases responsibility. If we know God owns everything, then we take care of it much better than if it's just mine to do what I want to do with it. Increases responsibility and accountability. To whom much is given, much is required. We're going to see pretty much as Christians at this time in history, much has been given to us. Very, very much. And so we want to honor God with it. It cures us of covetousness and gives us contentment and generosity. Covetousness is somebody else has something, I want that. I forget it belongs to God. My neighbor gets a new car, nice and shiny, Lamborghini, let's say. That's the car of choice with some of the young ones. And I look at that and I say, why does he have that? You know, well, me and my friends should have that. But if I recognize, who owns the Lamborghini after all? It's God's Lamborghini. If he wants to give to that guy, what's that to me? I'm happy for the guy now. I get to look at his car. I remember the first time I borrowed people's car for a while. I didn't have one. The people who were really free to lend me their car was the owner of a Plymouth Velari. Remember that great model? And Dodge Hornet. Okay. And which goes to show you, if you have simple gifts, sometimes you're more free to lend them out than if you have maybe bigger gifts. Oh, I'm not lending my Lamborghini to the to that guy there. So watch out when you have really blessed things that you don't keep them to yourself. So be generous as a steward from what the Lord gives you. With the help of the fellows on the screen here, I'm going to show some verses that help us be set free and know we're a servant in God's big house there. To know that everything belongs to God, that really makes life exciting. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, all who live in it. Certainly puts a different take on crowds, doesn't it? That God created them all. Jesus wants all of them to belong to Him. Puts a different take on disasters that we see in the news. Oh man, who cries the most? The Lord cries the most at loss of life. For every animal in the forest is mine, God says, the cattle on 1,000 hills. God owns everything. And it's a wonderful thing. King David prayed, O Lord, everything in heaven and on earth comes from You. We have only given You what comes from Your hand. So it gives us a sense that we're sharing in God's good creation when we realize we're stewards. Remember the quote from Abraham Kuyper. There's not one inch of the universe about which Jesus does not say, this belongs to Me. He says it about the person next to you. This belongs to Me. He says it about your soul, if you'd yield it to Him. He says it about your, how you handle clothing and food and buffets, I remember as a child, learned the difference between thankfulness and overdoing it, just with Oreos. Two or three Oreos, I was the thankful, happy kid. Got my two or three Oreos. Seven or eight Oreos, don't like Oreos as much, not thankful for the Oreos, not healthy, all that. That's what happens when I made Oreos mine. Instead of saying, maybe this is a part of God's nourishment for me. Not one inch of the universe about which Jesus does not say, this belongs to Me, let it belong to God. The Christian realizes all the blessings are from God, every good and perfect gift. God gives a perfect gift, and we mess it up. So be thankful and handle the gifts with care. People, what do you have that you did not receive? Opportunities to serve, they're all from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. The Lord created us, and then Jesus comes, dies for us. So we say, oh, it's great to belong to Him. The alternative to having Jesus as our master is to have sin, death, and hell as ruling over us. We should know that. We have Jesus buying us, or we have sin, death, and hell just reigning over us. Somebody made an imaginary application of the story of Jonah and the big fish. Remember, the big fish swallows Jonah. And the big fish does what God tells him to do throughout the story. God says, go swallow that guy. He swallows him. God says, spit him on the shore. He spits him on the shore. And the big fish, with Jonah in the belly, is probably thinking, I, as a creature, know that my job in the universe is to do what God tells me because I belong to God. He's my creator. Who is this creature in my belly who thinks that his life is his own? What in the world is he thinking about? He's out of touch with reality. So be like the big fish. Don't be like Jonah. I'll do anything but what God wants. He's being a poor steward. God entrusts us with treasure from heaven. That's for the Christian. This is my favorite part of the sermon, but to take the gifts of God to ourselves. First, He gives us His own friendship and salvation. He gives us Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I said at the first service, if God never gave us anything else but just gave us Himself, we would be the most wealthy creatures in the universe, would we not? just a father, maybe a father we always wanted on earth, but they didn't come through for us. They were a human being. You know, but God will be the Father, will never leave us or forsake us. The Son, to stand beside us, to pray for us. The Spirit, to live within us and bring out all kind of fruit of His Spirit in our lives. God gives us Himself, treasure of heaven. I made application of first service. I challenge you with this. As a Christian, you and I, every once in a while, we say this. We get droopy and we say, I don't feel like I'm growing as a Christian. You know. Poor, pitiful me. Will somebody come and help me? God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That's the truth. 2 Peter chapter 1. And so we receive what He has given us and we say, just let me serve. Just let me be a part of what God is doing. That's tremendous. The Lord entrusts us with the body of Christ, the church. Some say, oh, that's not too impressive. But to God it is. He chose the people around you to be His own. You can have some good connection in this life and for eternity. God makes a big deal out of the body of Christ. I think you should too. Good stewardship of the body. He gives us the Word of God, the Bible, treasure from heaven. The truth that makes us free. We know about Jesus from the Bible. Our faith grows by hearing the Word of God. All kind of good things from the Bible. A good steward of that. I take care of it. This is from God. I got to find out what it says to me today. Family, friends, and people. Someone once wrote, the best assets that you have in your life. Better than your stuff. Better than your bank account. The people in your life. Precious to God. The gospel. Jesus died for you and rose from the dead. Hey, you could have life forever with God. Now, prayer, communication with God, a purpose, the gift of heaven. You know, how wonderful it is to think loved ones receive the gift of heaven and they're with Christ now rejoicing. And because of Jesus, I will be in heaven too with Christ and with loved ones. Well, how do I be a steward of that other than every day bowing my head and say, how can I serve you till I get there? And work, did you know work was a treasure from heaven? I think even the pagan world understands that. When people can't find jobs and they say, I can't find a job, I just don't feel right. Treasure from heaven, God would give you to work. Rest, treasure from heaven. Some of us don't want that one. Go, go, go. God says, take a rest, it will remind you of my salvation. I should have put recreation up there too. Must have been in a bad mood for the last line. Work, rest, spiritual gifts that we use to honor others. Just wonderful treasures from heaven. And then to know that we take care of these, what's the Bible say? To serve others and to honor Christ. And it really enlivens our walk to know that's the way it is. God entrusts us with treasures on earth. I use a bit of a Jim Kendall illustration here to have us be thankful. Let's say 100 people represent the world. We'll just say from these two pews on, about 100 people. Out of the 100 people, how many have been given what? Let's see what you have that God gave you. 20 of these people live in safe housing. 30 are able to read. I think we hit them all pretty much with that. We had to call a plumber the other day, but the house was still safe. Okay, that's what the Lord has given us. Not to everybody, but somebody's been entrusted with that. One of these people own a computer. I think it's somebody in the first row. 50 have safe drinking water, about half of them. The one computer thing, I feel better now. You know, computers, obviously a big part of our world. It hasn't yet been a big deal to the Lord, apparently. 10 have a yearly income. Only 10 of these people have a yearly income of $25,000 or more. So they have more resources than 90% of the world. That's the first, we'll say the first three pews there. 30 have access to the Bible. When you think of, the illustration is obvious. God has given us much in terms of earthly treasure. And so much is required of us in terms of our ability to serve and also our ability to honor God. Seeing all this, someone said, you know, don't grab it just for yourself. How thick does your steak have to be? Someone used that phrase. How thick does your steak have to be before you share with others? Because you're thankful, because God gave you that job and that opportunity. Thank you guys very much. And to think of Jesus as our great example, as a steward. You know, Jesus, He had everything in heaven, didn't He? He had the love. He had the power. He had mercy and forgiveness. He had righteousness, joy, and holiness. All-surpassing gift of righteousness, we sang. Now, Jesus in heaven could have said, that's all mine. I hope you work it out okay. You know, this is all mine. But what did He do? He says, no, I'm not going to keep it to myself. I'm going to come and I'm going to give myself, my life, my love, my forgiveness. I'm going to open the storehouse of heaven on humanity. And I want to introduce them to my world. And we say, thank you very much, Jesus, for sharing with us when you didn't have to, being entrusted with the Father with all those things. Freely we have received from God. Freely give. Take that calling, would you, as a mantle of who you are. It's a Bible mantle. You're not only a child of God and precious to Him, you're a servant in His house and a steward to take care of what He has given you. And might you and I do that, learn how to do that, to bless others and to honor God. He will receive a lot of honor as you and I do that. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have communion with You, help us to recognize that the bread is You own the bread, You own the juice, You own the table, You own the participants. So we're glad to say, I want to fit in. I want to serve. I want to receive so I can give. So give us close fellowship with Yourself at Your table. And Father, stewardship, it's a big deal to You. And we fumble it up as much as anything else in our lives, but You could give us freedom and health. In our preparation for communion, I wanted to, just for each one here, I wanted to lead a little bit in letting the Lord speak to you, reading some of the commandments, and just ask God to set this aspect of your life right with Him, some of the Ten Commandments here. Have no other gods before Him. Don't make an idol for yourself. As you speak to God silently, talk to Him about how you need to have Him number one in your life, in all your thoughts, your emotions, your commitments. And ask Him to help you not put anything before Him. God would say to us, don't misuse My name. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Might we know the value of who Jesus is in all the world. None is precious, Creator, Redeemer, and to take the rest that He offers to us in our soul and in our body. Hear the Lord talk to your heart as He says, honor your father and mother. Ask God to teach you how to honor and respect your parents. You'll be a good steward of relationships as you do. And then He says, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. let the Lord point out to you tendencies of violence with your mouth, with attack of others verbally, of problems of adultery, faithfulness, not using God's gifts in a godly way. And then God says, don't steal, don't give false testimony, don't covet. And all the responsibilities we have to do them before the Lord, to gain contentment with Christ, and then to love Him and to love our neighbor. Lord, all these directions you give us, you would live out your obedience through us. So we want to walk in your ways as your dear people and as stewards of the varied grace of God. Be with us as we have communion with you. Father, we pray for folks in need. We remember Chris Schneider. Please bring healing to his life for those who fight to overcome cancer. We pray for those who miss loved ones, Lord, most recently and even in the past year or so. We remember the Metzger family, Azevedo family, the Winklevoss family, just people who, Conley family, people who need your care walking with you in these days. And be close to us as we take, Lord, your cup and your bread. Give us nourishment on the person of Christ himself. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At supper, Jesus took the bread and broke it and gave it to his followers, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this remembering me."